you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 123 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyra, your host as usual. And today, my guest is Greg Garman from LawClerk.legal. LawClerk is a virtual marketplace for contract attorneys, providing just that, contract attorney services. And in my mind, it kind of completes the puzzle here for those of us who are looking to virtualize their office and to outsource as much of the work as they possibly can to hold down overhead and increase efficiencies. Now, if you've been a follower of the show, you know about virtual services such as our receptionist, Call Ruby, or virtual bookkeeper, Suzy Q Bookkeeping, or virtual paralegals, paralegal consultants. All of those have been featured on the show in the past. Now, we have another piece called LawClerk, which allows us to market and solicit and hire contract attorneys to do specific pieces of legal work in a way that is compliant with all the ethical rules of our state and has a great deal of confidentiality and what have you. So Greg is the founder of LawClerk. He's also a practicing attorney out there in Las Vegas, Nevada. And it's a fascinating discussion. I got so much out of it. I hope you enjoyed as much as I did. So without any further delay, here's Greg Garman. Greg Garman, welcome to The Law Entrepreneur.
Neil, thanks for having me.
Well, I'm very delighted to have you here, Greg, today. Tell our audience a little bit about yourself and how you came to be where you are today.
Well, Neil, at the outset, I'm a longtime listener of the show, and so thanks so much for having me on.
Well, that's great to hear. I love that.
So I'm a 20-year practicing lawyer, and on top of that, I am a co-founder of LawClerk.legal. So I was a practicing lawyer at a large regional firm, and I'd actually worked my way from a young first-year associate up to be the managing partner. We had offices throughout the West and in Washington, D.C., and there came a point after almost 20 years of practicing where I concluded that the small boutique firm is not only a better business model, it's a better life. And so I left my firm to open a relatively small firm, at least in comparison, with about 15 lawyers based in my hometown of Las Vegas. And I came to miss some of the resources that I had at a bigger firm. I mean, certainly the business model of the boutique small solo firm is better. Certainly the lifestyle is better. But there came a time where I wish I had a securities lawyer, or I wish I had a specialist in a particular piece of litigation. And that's really where the idea of LawClerk came from. LawClerk is a marketplace where attorneys can go to hire freelance lawyers to add either subject matter expertise or just get an extra set of hands when that workflow is more than we can get done as a individual or a small group.
You know, I think in terms of the life cycle of a small law firm or solo or small practice, it is one of the first defining questions that we as business owners really face. We get to the point where either we have more work than we can handle ourselves, or we're coming across great opportunities that aren't exactly in our narrow area of expertise. And so the first question that we ask is, man, should I hire an associate? Should it be part-time? Do I have enough to do it part-time or full-time? And a lot of people get stuck on that question. And I think a service such as LawClerk can help them deal with that that problem.
You know, that's the problem that I and my friends who are lawyers, you know, face on a daily basis. And it's exacerbated by the fact that, you know, consumers now, they really want us to be specialists more than general practitioners. And, you know, we're trusted advisors to our clients and they bring us all of their problems. But, you know, at the end of the day, most of us categorize ourselves as litigators or transactional lawyers or will and trust, whatever the case may be. And so, you know, my experience is that when you reach that cusp of when you're ready to expand your firm, one of the problems you face is if you're a small boutique or solo, you're simply hiring an associate who necessarily finds themselves being a generalist also. And in this day and age, clients, you know, they want subject matter expertise. And so, you know, one of the things that we strive to provide is the ability to go out and find subject matter expertise when you need it, because not only does it provide sometimes a better product from someone who's been doing it for years, but it certainly provides efficiency. And that, you know, we're all smart lawyers. We graduated, we passed the bar. If given enough time, we can learn any subject area, but the idea that, you know, we're going to have to go out and get up to speed on what our clients are looking for, you know, is where efficiency is lost. And we only have so many hours a day to make productive and profitable and bill.
And, you know, in the back in the day, you had mentor-mentee programs and you were able to oftentimes walk down the hallway to another firm located in the same building and make friends with someone in a different practice area who could help shed some light on the technical issue, the legal issue that you're having. But more and more these days, that's less and less the case.
You know, we all have our core competencies, the things that we're most comfortable doing. And, you know, it's my experience, just as you were saying, that it used to be that you could walk down the hall and do that. But with more virtual firms, you know, with the way that people are working remotely, it's gotten harder and harder. And that has proven to be really difficult, particularly in the situation I think we all face regularly, which is we have a good client who comes to us and says, I need X done. We can do X. We're not a specialist at X, but the last thing we want to do is send our good client down the street to somebody else, because candidly, the profession doesn't have the same feel that it did 10 or more years ago when it comes to confidentiality or sending your client down the street. It doesn't have the same feel simply because there are more lawyers now and the supply-demand curve is making it more cutthroat.
Yeah, I think back in the day, I mean, one of the things I observed is that attorneys forged a lot of relationships with other attorneys. And they would say, oh, well, that's my trust and estates attorney. I send all my trust and estates work to them. And, you know, they send all their family law work to me. And I think we all would like to see that happen more. But as you said, we're not so collegial, it seems, as we used to be in the past. And so that happens less and less frequently. So that makes for a ripe opportunity for a business such as yours, which is also taking advantage of the explosion in online capabilities, the internet resources that we have available to us and that our clients expect us to take advantage of. And so in that environment springs up a company like Law Clerk.
Yeah, you know, interestingly, big firms were probably the first to get comfortable using contract lawyers. And, you know, when a document production came through of hundreds of thousands of or millions of pages, they and their clients got comfortable hiring lawyers to just go through those documents. And so that's finally made its way through the integration of technology to solos and small firms. And there's finally the ability to get that subject matter expertise when you need it through electronic marketplaces. And, you know, the electronic marketplaces and freelance lawyers in a gig economy are absolutely nothing new. They're absolutely nothing revolutionary. But we've finally found ways to be ethically compliant and protect attorneys in the process. And, you know, that's really what's different and what's happened over the last couple of years.
Yeah. And so let's kind of dig into that a little bit, because you know, as I virtualize my office, and you know, listeners to the show will know that, well, you know, I started with our good friends Call Ruby. I always like to plug them. Call Ruby, the receptionist. So I have a virtual receptionist. I have a virtual bookkeeper, Susie Q Bookkeeping. Another plug for a guest. Susie Q Bookkeeping and a paralegal company that I use to do some paralegal work, paralegal consultants. Another guest, Valerie DeWantnick. But you sort of run out of that area, those kinds of non-attorney-oriented services that you can virtualize. Now we start to make it more comfortable and actually develop a need for the ability to hire a freelance attorney to do a little bit of that work. And I think one of the questions I know I've had is, how do I deal with that? Or is that an issue in terms of fee splitting? So how do you address that quandary?
So there are a number of ethical issues that come up. And candidly, that's what we spent more than a year doing before we launched LawQuirk, was making sure that we could absolutely provide people with the comfort, the attorneys, the comfort they need to be ethically compliant. So at the outset, we have a 100-page white paper that does a 50-state survey on our website, if anyone's interested in reading the cases, reading the commentary about how it goes. But essentially, the way that we work and the way that a lot of contract lawyers work is that, you know, Neil, you as a practicing lawyer, you have the relationship with your client, and you're the one who provides the legal advice. You're the one who calls opposing counsel. You're the one who goes to court. But you're comfortable giving the backup work to your team that even includes paralegals. And so we're all very comfortable with the paralegal concept that they do the first draft. They give you the starting point. Then you are the one to confirm that it's accurate. You're the one who provides the legal advice. LawQuirk works exactly the same way, which is replace the idea of a paralegal with a 10-year skilled lawyer who simply has a subject matter expertise that vastly exceeds the paralegal that you're comfortable with. On LawQuirk, you post a project to the marketplace, you set a flat fee and say, I need a memo on X, or I need a motion in limine that says Y. The freelance lawyer does the work. You communicate and share documents in our system, which is encrypted and protected and fully ethically compliant. And then they provide that work product to you, but they provide it only to you. And so at the end of the day, you're the one who's providing the legal services. Because LawQuirk is a marketplace in which only licensed practicing attorneys can go hire freelance lawyers, we're not available for end clients to go and try and find legal services. We remove ourselves from the discussion of many of the ethical quandaries that some companies have gotten themselves in trouble with, like LegalZoom or even recent Avvo decisions. Because it's attorney to attorney, you can pay a freelance attorney the same way that you pay a full-time employee. There's U.S. Supreme Court decisions on it. The model rules talk about it. And for those who are interested in actually reading the cases, like I said, we do have a 50-state survey to show exactly why this works. We as a company spent 15,000 development hours building the back end of the technology to ensure compliance with each state's ethical rules. And, you know, I am a licensed practicing lawyer with a small firm. And, you know, the last thing I'm going to do, or the last thing I'm going to ask anyone else to do, is to take a misstep where they find themselves on the wrong end of the bar association.
Well, you know, I can think of just all kinds of opportunities here. As an example, when I'm practicing family law, there comes times when one needs to do a draft quadro. And to me, that was like the qualified domestic retirement order. To me, that's like the third rail of getting disbarred. You screw up a quadro, screw up somebody's retirement assets, and you're going to find yourself in a lot of trouble. So I would contract that out. I'd find an attorney, hey, do you know this person? And then they would just set up a separate relationship with the client. But in this case, I could say, I need a quadro for my client for this divorce that I'm doing. So I could go to law clerk and say, I need an attorney to draft a quadro for me as an example. And I think that's, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that's a perfect use of something like law clerk.
It is. And in fact, family law tends to be one of the practices that we see the most projects posted from. And just anecdotally, I'll say that oftentimes family law lawyers, they have things they're comfortable with. They're comfortable with the domestic piece of it. They're comfortable with other components of it. What we tend to see is that there are a lot of lawyers out there who just don't really want to do the probate side of it, the litigation side of it. And so we see a lot of lawyers in that area posting projects to get, you know, skilled freelance lawyers who have expertise in that, you know, doing the discovery, doing the litigation components of it. And, you know, at the end of the day, they're comfortable being in charge of the representation of their client. They're comfortable providing the advice, but they have somebody else doing the backup. And that is a perfect example of the types of things we see.
Another one I can just think of off the top of my head is, you know, as an estate planning attorney, very frequently that involves retitling real estate. And I know it's not difficult. I know it's not a hard thing to do a quit claim deed or other changes to real estate transactional contracts and paperwork, but it's just not something I want to dip my toe into. And I'd love to be able to bring in a contract lawyer to do that piece of the process of funding a trust, for example.
So I saw just that project come through not too long ago, and it was I actually think it was a lawyer in Virginia who needed those forms prepared for property in another state where they didn't have the exact forms, and they went to the marketplace. They said, "I need someone to conform, you know, a deed of trust, a quitclaim in this state, and here's how much I'm willing to pay." Yeah. And project got done, and said the attorney was happy, and it worked perfect.
Thanks for being with us today on The Law Entrepreneur. I wanted to remind you of a couple of upcoming conferences that we've been promoting on the show that I am actively involved in, have been, in at least one case, a participant for better part of 10 years now. Of course, that's MacTrack Legal down in Orlando, Florida, September 27th through the 29th. This is for Mac-loving lawyers, except, you know, we're going to be doing a lot regarding the iPhone this year, so even if you don't own a Mac computer, most people who own an iPhone will get a lot out of going there. And frankly, to be honest with you, there's so much at the conference that's not Mac specific or Apple specific oriented that it's well worth your time. I love going. I've been there every year, as I said, for like the last 10 years. Victor Medina has been a guest on the show talking about MacTrack Legal. He's going to be on in a couple of weeks again. So I just want to get ahead of that. Reminds you that you can go to www.MacTrackLegal.com and be a part of that conference. I look forward to meeting you there. You'll find me at the bar. I'll buy you a drink. How about that? Okay. The other one is the Chris Game Changer Summit. And this I'm really excited about. It's a different kind of conference for those in the legal space. You heard Mike Mogul on the show a couple episodes ago talking about the conference. It's a different approach, and I'm really excited about it. You can go to www.crispsummit, all one word, crispsummit.com. Enter the promo code TLE when you register. You'll get $100 off your entrance fee, and that conference is being held down in Atlanta, Georgia, on the 9th and 10th of November. So lining up these conferences, trying to go to one a month. I know I overdo it, but that's what I like to do. And I hope to see you at either MacTrack Legal and or the Chris Game Changer Summit. So given that we can see these opportunities, how do I go about taking advantage of it? Is it, I know you have a website here, lawclerk.legal.
Yeah, we did that because we are exclusively lawyer to lawyer, attorney to attorney. So the way the process works is incredibly simple. We've tried to streamline it for folks. So if you're an attorney who wants to hire and get work done, You go to the site. There are a couple of screens where we ask you for basic information about your firm. We ask you to tell us what state you're licensed in. And then we do ask you to hold up a copy of your government issued ID next to your face so that we can tie an individual to that ID. And then we confirm that you're a licensed attorney in a particular state, and you're off and running. And all of that usually takes a matter of minutes. And then once you're a registered user, you confidentially post a project to the site. So for instance, as a sample project, you may say, you know, I need a memo on this point of family law, and I think that it's going to take, you know, X amount of time, but I'm willing to pay a flat fee of $350. That project goes into the marketplace of freelance lawyers who've identified that as that area of law. Say you identified it as a family law issue. So it goes to freelance lawyers who've identified family law as being an area of emphasis. They get a text message or an email that says, this project was posted that's in your area. Here's a brief description of it. Here's how much it pays. And they decide whether, based upon the economics and complexity of the project, they want to apply. You then get a review, resumes, writing samples, and importantly, previous reviews of other attorneys on the site about everyone who applies to work with you. You decide who you want to work with. We hold the money in escrow. We charge your credit card. We hold the money in escrow until you're satisfied with the work product that you receive. You can share documents and communicate in our system that's confidential. It's so confidential, we built it such that even the network administrators and we as a company can't see what you're doing between the freelance lawyer and the hiring attorney. You get the work product at the end of the day. You get a time card as to how much labor was put into that project with a description. And then when you're satisfied, we release the money to the law clerk. You have your work product. And most of our attorneys choose to bill that time out the same as they would for an associate.
Yeah, for sure. It's brilliantly simple and complex at the same time. I mean, I love it. So you are able to, one of the things I think is really cool, you're able to use your system to share the documents, so you don't have to have a separate Dropbox account or separate portal to transmit or worry about secure email. Tell us a little bit about how we work through your system.
Right. So when we built the system, we wanted to make sure that we weren't reliant upon someone else's technology to be able to tell attorneys that they're compliant with the ethical rules. So, you know, I'm a big user of Slack around my office. And so we built a Slack feature that's totally customized, totally proprietary within the system. And so we don't limit you to communicating with the freelance lawyer through our integrated Slack system, but we do assure you that it's confidential. We do assure you that it's secure. You have access to their email and phone if you want to call them in a traditional fashion, but we built that into our system. Similarly, you know, Dropbox and Box, they're all compliant, but we wanted to build our own proprietary system so that we could assure people that we built it expressly for the purpose of complying with the ethical rules. So at the same time, we have a document repository, and you can share documents in the document repository just as you would in Dropbox. And again, unlike other systems, we don't have access to your documents. It all remains encrypted and only available to the hiring attorney and the freelance lawyer that they choose to work with.
And is there any aspect of conflict checking here? Because I wonder if, like, mm-hmm. if you're borrowing or engaging an attorney from, say, a nearby jurisdiction, is there a possibility that maybe they would be conflicted out and you need to verify that? Is there any way to address that?
So that's one of my favorite questions to answer because we're really proud of what we did. So we actually have three levels of conflict check. So the first level is this. When you, as an attorney, post a project to the site, we instruct you and ask you not to include client names and to leave the description general so that no one could tell, so that no one could read into a general fact pattern, some specific person. You then create a conflict checklist in our system. You identify clients, adverse parties, any witnesses you deem to be essential for the process. And that conflict checklist remains confidential until you pick the freelance lawyer you want to work with from all the applicants. Only then does the freelance lawyer get the conflict checklist. We actually make them read the conflict ethical rule from every state in which you are admitted as an attorney. Then they have to certify that they have cleared conflicts in accordance with that state's ethical rule. But then on top of that, for every project, not only do we require certification with the ethical rule, we have a confidentiality and non-disclosure contract that the freelance lawyer electronically signs that gets transmitted to you as the hiring attorney. So you have a second layer of confidentiality. And then we actually just released an upgrade where we've put a third layer of confidentiality in, which is if your client, Neil, is Acme Co., and there's ever been a freelance lawyer who was adverse in our system to Acme Co., they get excluded and they never even see the project and they can't even apply to your project. And so it's limited to the data that happens in our marketplace, but that's a third layer of conflict protection that we built in the system to protect attorneys on both sides.
You know, ironically, I suspect at some level, it's more conflict checking than most people do on a normal basis. So we've already upgraded the proprietary and confidentiality of their practice just by using Law Clerk.
Yeah, when we layered on the contractual obligation, we felt really good that, you know, we've taken it to state bars across the country and said, you know, we've not only complied with your rules, we've added this second layer on it, and the reception has been really great.
So we've spoken a lot about using the service from a hiring perspective, the hiring attorney finding a freelance attorney to do some aspect of work on behalf of their firm. What about from the other side, attorneys who are looking to provide freelance work to others? How do they take advantage of the system?
So they register the same way. The process is a little bit different, obviously, in that to work on it, we take you through the same process of certifying that, you know, you've graduated and you've taken a bar. We require the same issue associated with proving that you are licensed in a particular state. And then what happens is that you pick a couple of areas of law that you have an emphasis in. You can always go to the marketplace and look at all the projects that are posted and apply to anything that you want to apply to. But we try and ask our freelance lawyers to pick the things that they are most specialized at. And those are the projects in which you receive a real-time notification that a project has gone on the site. Obviously, you have to have uploaded a resume and a writing sample. We've tied you to an individual person so people can't fake an identity on the site. And then you apply to work on a particular project. And so, you know, it's kind of an interesting thing in that not only do we have so our freelance lawyers are really run the gambit of lawyers. Obviously, we have some young lawyers who are recent graduates who are looking to supplement. We have retired am law partners. We have law professors who have time in the summer. We have a really significant number, kind of the bread and butter of the freelance lawyers are parents who've decided that the full-time practice of law is incompatible with raising children, but they have a skill set after having worked 5 or 10 years that they can, you know, work nights or weekends when the kids are asleep. We have military spouses who have to move every year, so they don't have the luxury of building a practice in every city that they go to, but have the flexibility to work. You name it, we've got it. We've even got solo practitioners. We have some users of the site who, when they have extra work, they post projects. And when the ebb and flow of work decreases and when they're a little bit slow on work, they actually apply to and work on projects. There's work for almost every level of experience.
All those use scenarios almost daily in some fashion or another. Mm-hmm. That's tremendous. Is there any one area that has surprised you, that's given you either a greater return? And I'm talking about necessarily money, but just like, oh, I never thought we'd be that good at this.
So the projects we get the most are litigation. And that might just be a fact that litigation is, I think, about half of the legal work in the country by revenue perspective. We get a lot of litigation, but, you know, one of the things that we did to ensure ethical compliance is you're not permitted to let the freelance lawyer talk to your client. You're not permitted to let them talk to opposing counsel. You're not permitted to let them sit in a deposition. They really are to be back office work, and they're to provide you the work product so that you can be the one who that does the traditional things that are constitute the practice of law. So we weren't sure when we started whether or not that would be a hurdle to, involving freelance lawyers in discovery. And I'll say that discovery turns out to be probably about 20% of the work that comes through the site ends up being people reviewing documents, reviewing contracts, responding to interrogatories in a first round, responding to requests for production. It's really been wonderful to see litigation take hold because it was one of the things we worried about. One of the more interesting use cases that we see that I never would have occurred to me are people who, and I'm so prone to do this. If you ask me to do something 6 months in advance, I'll almost agree to anything. And so we have a lot of attorneys who post projects like, I agreed to write this article for the Bar Journal. I agreed to do a CLE and need to do written materials. I think we have a project up today that somebody agreed to write some blog articles, and they're looking for somebody to get them started.
Yeah, that's interesting. So conversely, what's the big hurdle that you're struggling with right now? If you could get some help on, what would that be?
Look, we as lawyers are slow to change. We're slow to evolve our business model. We've all been hearing and talking for 20 years that the billable hour is dead, but we've never really figured out what the next incarnation is. The real hurdle, I think, is convincing lawyers that the business model needs to evolve. And I really think that that's what, our profession needs to do better at. I think that's kind of who your listener base is, or people who are entrepreneurial about the law. But, the days of hiring vast teams of full-time associates are getting really, really hard in the cost structure that exists with the pricing pressures. And so the big hurdle that we see to a more successful adoption of contract lawyers is simply, convincing lawyers that the business model they've run for 20 years needs to change, and that we need to do things differently, because not only can we as lawyers make more money, we can actually lower the cost for our clients, and we can give more access to legal services. One of the things we talk about, we try and educate people on, is that the old model of hiring an associate, the traditional model was one third of the time that their collections go to their compensation, one third go to the shared overhead that they cost, and one third is intended to go to profit to the law firm owner or the partner. Well, if they're underutilized, the first thing that gets consumed is the profit. And the use of contract lawyers means that there is much less overhead. And so, when you take those factors and put them together, it really can be a better business model for many lawyers.
I find, as you said, particularly with the listeners of this podcast, most of my listeners are really open to the idea of virtualization. In fact, we've had, several attorneys who don't have an office. They practice virtually. They're, from their home, and they meet in virtual space, and that works perfectly for them. Or they follow the Lee Rosen model, and they travel all around the world running a virtual law firm. But every services guest that I've had, the virtual receptionist, the virtual bookkeeper, the virtual paralegal, they've all said the same thing as you. The biggest hurdle is convincing attorneys that this is an acceptable approach to the delivery of legal services. So hopefully we'll get more people aligned with the cutting edge, which isn't that actually all that cutting. It's just brilliantly implemented in a company like yours. And we'll start to see that change.
Yeah, my experience is the early adopters are killing it. They've found a way to cut their overhead. They've found a way to get a better product. And we really have three types of attorneys who post project to the site. We have the attorneys who, through the ebbs and flows, need an extra set of hands from time to time. They just get too much work in, and in order to get it done, they post a couple of projects at one time. to get it all done. Then the second user that we see is the one we talked about earlier, which is, you know, I'm an estate planning lawyer and I had a client who comes in who needs a lease and yeah, I can do it, but it'd be better if somebody else took a first stab at it. We have that as a second type of user. And then the exciting one is that we have professionals out there from across the country who are lawyers who've decided to build their entire business model around the use of contract lawyers, and where they have the work to keep multiple associates potentially busy, they've decided to use contract lawyers, and they work with a regular team of lawyers. They work with the same 6 or 7 or 8 people all the time, and they've built their entire business model around having a virtual firm with the additional benefit of not having fixed salary costs, so that when they decide to take a month off, they're not paying everybody. And these freelance lawyers go work for other people during that month.
And the third category of clients of yours, I think, are the ones that really get it.
Yep. And what we see is that their margins are better. You know, having been in this business, having had a lot of associates over the years, the margins that they're seeing, they're able to reduce the cost to the client at the end of the day, and not only maintain their margins, in some instances they're able to enhance their margins.
Well, I think it's fascinating. I'm definitely going to be visiting the site more often myself. We'll have the site listed in our show notes here, but just as a repeat, it's lawclerk.legal. And Greg, tell our audience a little bit, you know, how they can reach out to you personally if they want to get a follow up here, or what's the best way to get in contact.
Yeah, so the website tells a lot, but I love talking to our users, and I love actually interacting with potential customers to talk about their concerns and understand what it is they need, so that we can always build a better product. Anyone can reach me via email at ggarman@lawclerk.legal, and I'd love to talk to you. And then, you know, we are, for your listeners, offering a $300 rebate on your first completed project. If you post a project, you put in a rebate code of TLE300, you can get a free project or up to $300 back on anything that you post.
That's wonderful. I'd love to be able to take advantage of that. So, Greg, thank you ever so much for taking the time to be with us today on The Law Entrepreneur. And I look forward to getting to know you a little better next time I come on out to Las Vegas.
Neil, thanks for having me on so much. Keep up the good work. I do love your show, and I really do appreciate you spending a couple of minutes talking to me about law clerk.
Sounds great. Take care.
Once again, I'd like to thank our friends at Market Circle, the makers of Daylight and Spotlight Branding, for being sponsors of today's podcast. Market Circles, as the makers of Daylight, provide the tool that I use to manage my cases, my clients, my calendar, my to-dos, the emails, and they do so all in one app that stays with me on my Mac, my iPhone, and my iPad. I use Daylight on my own in a solo environment, but you can also use it in a team. You can use Daylight to track the status of cases and delegate tasks to one another on your team, and you can see everyone's schedule all without having to interrupt anyone. Daylight is one of the tools that I use to stay organized, and it increases my efficiency, and therefore it only stands to reason that it will do the same for you and your team if you use it in a broader environment. So visit marketcircle.com/daylight to try Daylight free for 30 days, and be sure to let them know that you heard about Daylight through The Law Entrepreneur in order to get a 50% discount on your first monthly subscription. Also, our friends at Spotlight Branding, as always, have been very helpful in sponsoring this podcast. You know, I trust them to manage the internet presence for my law firm, and I recommend them to solo lawyers every chance I get. They built a great website for me, and they use video marketing, social media, email marketing, and more to help keep me top of mind with my referral network. So visit www.spotlightbranding.com to learn more. They're even offering a free gift for podcast listeners, which you can access at spotlightbranding.com/TLE, as in The Law Entrepreneur. So spotlightbranding.com/TLE to access your free gift. And as always, make sure that you visit our website, www.thelawentrepreneur.com, to see everything that's going on with the podcast and subscribe to our newsletter so that you can stay in the know and be the first on your block, so to speak, to gain insight into what's going on here. So once again, thanks for being here this time around. I appreciate your listenership. Hope to see you again next week on The Law Entrepreneur.